Welcome to worship as we continue our Lenten midweek series. We're looking at the miracles of the Bible, specifically the miracles that our Lord has done, but the miracles of the Old and New Testament together. Tonight you'll hear some more miracle stories, and you may recall that a miracle is not happen chance, it's not just luck or fate, but a miracle is the grace of God, where we recognize such faith, Holy Spirit, God-given faith, that we say, this is the finger of God. This is the hand of Christ at work in my life and in the life of others. Next week, Jenna's going to share a faith story, a testimonial. She'll be sharing a meditation, whatever you want to call it. But you'll be able to hear a story again next week of another miracle as well. And that's where the stories come, you know. Each of us have miracles in our lives. And as we share those stories and give those testimonies, we bear witness to the glory of God. Don't forget to please return these tonight following worship, because we'll continue to use those. And then also, I just want to remind you, men's Bible study tomorrow here at 11 a.m. And also, we continue to keep Pastor Tim Duesenberg and his family in our prayers. His mother had passed away, 88 years old, and her funeral will be in Des Moines, Iowa this Thursday morning at 11 a.m. So please keep that family in your prayers also. Our call to worship, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son, and bring to naught all he has done.
We rise as we are able for our service of light.
Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And shine within your people here.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Triune God, we praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. Thankful hearts proclaim your grace. Blessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, mark us with your cross again. Fill us with the Spirit's power. Resurrect us from the dead.
Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face, you who sing creation's story, shine on every land and race. Now as evening falls around us, we shall raise our songs to you. God of daybreak, God of shadows, come and light our hearts anew. In the stars that grace the darkness, in the blazing sun of dawn, in the light of peace and wisdom, we can hear your quiet song. Love that fills the night with wonder, love that warms the weary soul, love that bursts all chains asunder, set us free and make us whole. You who made the heavens splendor, every dancing star of night. Make us shine with gentle justice. Let us each reflect your light. Mighty God of all creation, gentle Christ who lights our way.
Loving Spirit of salvation, lead us on to endless day.
The Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright. For your word and your presence are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation. Congregation may be seated for our psalmody, Psalm 141. Women, please follow Jenna, and Echo, men, please group two with me. Let your loving kindness descend upon us, O Lord, and let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host. and may glorify you forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word. Our reading for tonight from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As Jesus drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bier stood still. And Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. Don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. God has promised, and he is true. Don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Miracles. We recognize them because the Holy Spirit gives us such faith to see that it's not just a prophet among us, but the prophet like Moses, like Jeremiah, the prophet like Elijah, who is the forerunner of Messiah. This is the prophet, not just like, but greater than. This is Messiah. This is the Savior of the world. And faith, such faith, God-given faith, allows us to say, this is not just my lucky day. I'm not thanking my lucky stars. I am singing the song of praise to God. Why? Well, because I know that this is the finger of God, that God has spared me, that I am here for a reason. You are here for a reason. We are blessed so that like a ripple, the blessing may extend to others as well. So let me start with a story. When I was a pastor for 17 years in Little Falls, a dear little lady named Mildred Shelley, her family had owned the funeral home, and then it got passed on to her sons. And she was at the Lutheran home, and I would see her a couple of times a month visiting her. We would have communion once a month in the chapel, a short worship service, and Mildred would always be there. But Mildred, she had severe dementia, she had Alzheimer's. She didn't remember. So every time I would see Mildred, I would go up to her and I would say, "Mildred, it's me." Pastor David, you know, like your son. Your son's name is David, remember? I'm like one of your children. You're like my mom. Well, one of those days that I went to the chapel for communion, the folks were gathering, some members, some non-members, but I didn't see Mildred. And I said, where's Mildred? And my assistant, I had a couple of gals that helped me all the time, Jean Peterson, she said, oh, we asked her, but she said she couldn't come today. I thought, well, does that mean they scheduled rehab or what's going on? You know, they should work around God's word, not, you know what I mean? Put God's word first rather than everything else first. So I said, I'll go check with her. So I went down to Mildred's room and I walked in there. There she was sitting in her wheelchair and I knelt down beside her and I took her small, thin little hands and I smiled and I said, Mildred, it's me. Remember Pastor David, like your son, David. And she got a big smile on her face, and I said, we've got chapel today. We're going to worship, you know, Jesus suffer, Holy Communion. She looked at me and she said, oh, I couldn't do that. I'm not worthy. I couldn't do that. I'm not worthy. Do you hear what she said? I'm a sinner. I said, Mildred, that's the wonderful thing about the Lord's Supper. I said, I'm not worthy either. I said, it's the body and blood of Jesus. It's his death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin. He's the one that makes us worthy. He invites us. He says, come to my table. Let me feed you with the gift of forgiveness. He makes us worthy. It's not our merit. It's not our self-made merit or worthiness. So she looks at me, she says, so I can come. I said, well, Jesus would be disappointed if you weren't there. He makes you worthy, he makes me worthy. She said, let's go. So we did. That's what makes us worthy, the righteousness of Jesus. Or in the words of Revelation 5, worthy is Christ, the Lamb who is slain, who has begun his reign. Worthy to do what? Take the scrolls and break its seals. Mission accomplished. It is finished. The promise of the third day, even in the season of Lent. Do you see the intersection with Luke chapter 7? Jesus is approached because the word on the street is, this man is a mighty prophet. This man is the visitation of Almighty God in our lives. And so a centurion who has lots of power, position, authority, he hears about Jesus. And he sends some elders, some religious leaders to Jesus. His servant, whom he loves, is sick, near death. He's on his last breath. And did you hear what they said right away to Jesus? That's a mistake we make as sinners sometimes. We want to somehow look at our portfolio or our pedigree. And they say, you should do this for him. Quid pro quo. One good deed deserves another. You should do this. Why, Jesus? Well, because he's worthy. Look at what he's done for us. He loves us. He even built us this amazing synagogue. Did you catch that? It's not what we accomplish or accumulate. It's not our pedigree. It's not our portfolio. But Jesus goes. And remember, this is a centurion. This is a Gentile. If he goes into the Gentile's house, he will be unclean. Unclean, unclean. Jesus is willing to take our uncleanness, to be contaminated with our sin. And when he's almost at the house, you can see it, can't you? You can picture it. He's almost at the house. The centurion sends some of his friends out there and says, you got to tell him to stop. He's going to come into my house. He'll be made unclean. You got to tell him to stop. Just tell him I understand the word. Tell him I understand authority. You know authority, like Matthew 28. Jesus, the crucified and risen one, who says, all authority, not some, not most, 100%, all authority has been given to me by my Father. Go, therefore, make disciples of all people everywhere, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to keep my commandments. Authority. He says, you tell Jesus, I understand the word in flesh. Tell Jesus, I understand authority because I've been given authority. And I can say to my servant, or anybody that's under me, I can say, you do this. And they'll say, when do you want me to do it? Where do you want me to go? How high do you want me to jump? Tell me. You're in authority. And Jesus says, wow. I mean, he's been traveling around. In all of Israel, I haven't seen this. Such faith. Such God-given faith, which is what makes us worthy. Such God-given faith. And then you know what happens when they got back in the house. He's well. Oh man, thank you, lucky stars. Lucky day for him, huh? Did he catch a break? No. Because if we've been listening to the word in flesh, we know what cured, what healed this servant who was on the brink of death. It was the word of God. It was Jesus. It was the authority and sovereignty of Almighty God. Now, you know, in Luke's gospel, Luke loves to pair. It's a fun thing to watch when you're in Luke's gospel. Watch how he always pairs like a story about a guy and then a parallel story about a gal. So you get this male centurion, and now all of a sudden we're going to get, you know, somebody that's up here, unclean, unclean, but over here there's a widow. She's down on the bottom of the feeding ladder. You saw that, right? And she's only got one son. He's her meal ticket. He's her social security system. And what's wrong with the widow's son? He's dead. I mean, they're taking him, and the funeral's over. They're in the procession. They're at the gate where businesses are transacted. Transactions take place at the city gate. And they're right there at the gate, and Jesus touches the buyer, this open casket. You know what happens, right? You become unclean. He's touched death. He doesn't just touch death, he doesn't just taste death. You know what he does to death? He destroys it. He demolishes it. And because he's got all authority, you can just see what happens. They stop, they halt. The funeral procession, I don't know, 20, 30 cars maybe with their light turned on, I don't know how long a procession it was, but they just all stop in the presence of Almighty God. And Jesus says, arise. Get up. It's Easter. And somebody says, Pastor, it's still Lent. Remember, 40 days of... It's Easter. We can bury our hallelujahs. But they're not gone. We are people of the promise. People of the third day. And we believe it. Because the Holy Spirit has given us, you and me, such faith. Two stories, side by side, such faith. And then fear seizes them. They glorify God. They can't keep quiet. They keep on saying, a great prophet has risen among us. God has visited his people. When God visits his people, it's usually because there's a problem or because there's something really good that's going to happen. A curse, a blessing, favor. We'll sing a song about that in a couple of minutes. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Well, that's what we see, this parallel, this male and female story. I got a couple more stories to tell because it's not just something of the past. You see, when I was growing up, I had a good friend, a real good buddy named Kyle Zimmerman. He was Missouri Synod Lutheran. And We did like Thanksgiving services together in the community of New Richmond, Wisconsin. But unfortunately, that was the one church that didn't join us. But Kyle and I did everything together. He was a little bit older than me. He was the same grade, though. So he had his license, and he was my transportation. But he had, if you know anybody like this, a little bit of a heavy foot. So when you're in the country there, and you've got, you know, hills, and you've got curves, and it's dusk, you want to be a little careful. So I remember saying to Kyle when I was in high school, you know, you might want to slow down a little bit. There's some curves here. There's some hills. And Kyle just kind of glances over at me and smiles. You know, I mean, you're a teenager. You're invincible, right? We come up over the hill. He's going 60, 65 miles an hour. Should have been going probably 45, 50 at the most. You know what's in the middle of the road? Maybe a dozen pigs. Right in the middle of the road. I grew up on a farm. Arnie, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want to hit pigs. Papers. Next thing I knew, like in a blink of an eye, we're on the other side of those pigs. And finally, his foot's off the accelerator, and we're kind of coasting. We're going over another hill around a curve, and he pulls over and he says, "Did that just happen?" I said, "What are you talking about, Kyle?" I was just pulling his leg. He said, "There was a bunch of pigs there, right, in the middle of the road." I said, "Yeah, I told you to slow down. You almost got us killed." "Yeah, but how did we make it through there?" You see, Kyle kind of thought that maybe because I went to church every week that I was like a good luck charm or something. I don't know. But it wasn't good luck charm, my friends. It was providence. It was purpose. It's because God knows what he's doing. And we've got a course to run. And God isn't going to finish that course until you and me, whether it's in 10 years or 45 years or 77 years or whatever it is, until we complete that course that God has put us here on earth to do. And then one final story. A new beloved friend in my life was telling me that he was out on some land that they have as a family. And was doing some serious walking on the property, you know, elevation. So he said, "I'm going to be probably having some, you know, how you get cramps in your legs and stuff at the end of the day if you've been out working hard, especially if you're not 20, 30 years old." Well, he said, I need to tell you what happened to me. This is last Thursday. I get this phone call. He says, "I was coming home, and I got home and my wife says to me, 'So how are you?' He said, 'Well, I'm alive by the grace of God.' You see, as he was coming home, somebody driving from the other direction decided that they were going to pass two or three cars at the same time. There was fortunately, there wasn't just gravel on the side there. There was actually a paved shoulder, and you know what I'm talking about. There's a difference. At least then you've got the possibility of pulling over. But on some of the roads around here, there's no shoulder, and if you've got to try to avoid something, it's going to be a mess." He said, "Probably less than 5 feet from an on-and-on head-on collision." "Why?" And then he proceeded to tell me, he said, "You know, this isn't the first time." He said, 2 years ago, there was a pickup pulling a large trailer driving the wrong way on I-90 in a snowstorm. And I survived. Nothing short of a miracle. 4 years ago, it was a pickup truck passing a line of vehicles in a no-passing zone. My grandson was with me. You see a pattern here?" And when this friend was only 6 years old, no top on, you know, convertible maybe or something, you know, but you know, he's sitting in the back seat with his brother. And that was in the days, some of you know these child locks, you know, you can have them on the doors in the back seat, so that if all of a sudden somebody lifts the handle, you don't go flying out. They didn't have those. So here's the two brothers in the back seat, and all of a sudden then, the older one says, "Mom, he just flew out the door. My brother, 60 miles an hour. Now, I don't know about you, But I know if you got a six-year-old that's flying out of the car in the back seat at 60 miles an hour, you're probably not going to be, you're probably not going to be celebrating a happy event. You're probably going to be filled with sorrow and sadness and a funeral, like our scripture reading for tonight. Survived. There's more to his story. It's absolutely amazing. And he shared this testimony with me. He said, "Am I lucky? Why, Lord? Why am I still alive? God has a purpose for my life. He's blessed me, opportunities, 77 years of being able to do good works for the glory of God, financially so that I can take care of people, my family, my loved ones, my church. He's taught me to listen to those who are suffering and to extend God's grace to them. He's commanded me to pray and to pray and to pray, to don't stop praying, to trust that in everything God is working for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And guess what? The lives of the others that were saved for a purpose. Well, I know that I'm a walking miracle. And I don't take that for granted. Every day is a gift that I get to open up. And so sometimes when people are sweating the small stuff, I go, you know, there's a whole lot of small stuff out there. Give thanks to God. Understand what it is that makes us worthy. You see, Mildred got it right. Even with Alzheimer's, she understood that such faith is a gift of God, that salvation is the free gift of God's amazing grace. Jesus makes you worthy. Jesus gives you such faith. Jesus is preparing a place in heaven for you and for me. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who is slain, to take the scroll and break its seal. So in light of Luke chapter 13, which you heard last Saturday, remember these words of Jesus. You go and tell that fox Herod to get out of my chicken coop, because today and tomorrow I've got a course to run, I've got cures to perform, I've got demons to cast out. And on the third day, I finish my course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able for our song of the day, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
The triumphs of his grace. My
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
An angel, can we start over that on that, Marianne? Can we just start over on that, please? An angel went. Just start over, please. Thank you.
An angel went from God
to a town called Nazareth to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you.
You shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. I live to do God's will. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here and blessed me all my life through. Great and mighty are you, O Holy One. Strong is your kindness evermore. How you favor the weak and lowly one, humbling the proud of heart. You have cast the mighty down from their thrones and uplifted the humble of heart. You have filled the hungry with wondrous things and left the wealthy no part. Strong is your justice, strong your love. As you promised to Sarah and Abraham, kindness forevermore. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. Looked with love on your servant here and blessed me all my life through.
Be seated for our closing prayers. We continue with our litany and closing prayers.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
In peace, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace and salvation, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace between nations, for peace between peoples.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For us who are gathered to worship and praise you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all of your servants who live out your gospel.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who govern that justice might guide them.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who labor in service to others.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Help us comfort us all of our days.
Keep us, hold us, gracious God.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The final blessing.
Let us bless the Lord.
Praise and thanks to God.
May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days.
Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.